Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Life Coach Chat. I'm Tim Billiter, and I am joined today by Barbara Hetzel, the owner and founder of Ridgetop Coaching. We were supposed to be joined by Dexter Cicero today, but he's under the weather. So if you're listening to Dexter, I hope you're feeling so much better. And we are going to be talking today about developing healthy relationships. Before we get started, though, I do want to let you know about some upcoming episodes on the Life Coach Network. Tomorrow, Saturday, July 13th, at 5 p.m., the Happy Healthy Hour with Health Coach Jen Duffy. Join Jen as she shares 101 ways to maximize your summer healthfully, everything from lightening up your favorite summer barbecue foods, outdoor fitness ideas, and rediscovering the joy of summer and play. And then on Sunday, July 14th at 12 noon, we have Life Coach Chat, and it's the Super Soul Sunday wrap-up, or the Super Soul Sunday recap. Coaches Philomena Iorio-Tasaluk, Joel Redens, and Veronica Taylor will engage in a lively discussion recapping highlights from Oprah's talk with author Gary Zukav. That sounds like it could be a fascinating thing to listen to. But again, we're going to be talking about relationships and how to form healthy relationships, both getting into one and already having one. So first up, what I want to do is I want to introduce Barb Hetzel. She is, again, the owner of and founder of Ridgetop Coaching. Welcome, Barb.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be with you again.
Thanks so much. Why don't you go ahead and tell people a little bit about yourself and your business?
Sure, I'd love to. Once again, the name of my company is Ridgetop Coaching. I am a life and leadership coach, and I work with individuals, groups, and companies that are trying to understand and develop how their leadership skills and how they can live integrated lives both at work and at home. There's seamlessness about who individuals are. I'm also really pleased to let everyone know that I am going to be published. I have a chapter in a new book called Ready, Aim, Influence that's going to come out at the end of July or beginning of August, and you can read a little bit about it on my Facebook page at Ridgetop Coaching. So I'm happy to announce that and happy to be on the call today.
Well, it's great to have you, and we have worked together before, so we have a little bit of chemistry already built up. What is a good place for people to reach you?
The best places to reach me are through my website, Ridgetop Coaching, that's RIDGETOP coaching.com, and also through email, which is info@ridgetopcoaching. And like I mentioned before, I do have a Facebook page for Ridgetop Coaching. You can just search for me and like me, and I would love to have you view that. If folks want to go to my website, I have available for free a special report download on thriving in the midst of change. And so I'm happy to share that with anybody who would be interested in accessing it.
Great. And so how excited are you for being published?
Oh my God, it's unbelievable. You know, it's everything is a work in progress, and every journey, you know, has its own path. So I'm really happy to be able to, you know, take this little step into the publishing world, and I look forward to, you know, having some other things that I work on also published. So it's a great first step.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks so much, Tim.
You're welcome. So a little bit about me, folks. I am a life purpose coach. I'm based in the New York City area. And my mission really is simply to help people develop thought processes and practical skills that allow them to move through life with a little more ease and grace. It's really my belief that most of us are not aware of our true nature. And our true nature, in my opinion, is that we are never really alone, nor are we disconnected from our source, and that we possess far more power than we've ever likely been taught or imagined we have. And I believe as a coach, it's my job really to help you tap into your potential that is already there and to assist you in creating the life that you desire. You know, what I found is that, you know, so many of us have so many beliefs that limit us, that we have this idea, this story we carry around about ourselves that may not necessarily be based on truth or just partial truths, and that we let that story block us from knowing, you know, what we actually have inside of us and what we're capable of. And, you know, as a coach, it's my job to help you sort of dig in there, figure that out, to, I like to say, to build a good foundation for the life that you want to build. You can reach me at my website, which is DIYForYourSoul.com, DIYForYourSoul.com. I also am on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. I'd love for you to follow me on Twitter. That's at Tim Billiter. Again, at Tim, it's just my name. And I also have a Facebook page, Tim Billiter Life Coach. You can look that up and like that page if you wish. So let's jump into the topic here of relationships, you know, developing healthy relationships. And, you know, I think before we do that, I forgot one thing, and this is a really important thing. Folks, if you're out there listening and you want to join in on this conversation, if you have a comment, you have a question, you have something you want to be coached around, actually, you know, we could take the time to do that. Feel free to call us at 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. So, what I want to say about relationships right off the front is that I think that we need to define what it is and what we're talking about today, what we mean by relationships, because we're in relationships with everybody all of the time. If you are at work, you're having a relationship with the people you sit next to. You're having a relationship, whether you realize it or not, with the people you're talking to on the phone, with your boss. You're having a relationship with your children if you're a parent. We are immersed in relationships. So I want to define a little bit today the type of relationships that we're talking about here. And I think that that what we're going to be talking about really is intimate relationships. Barb, you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, every person we encounter, there's some level of relationship that results from that encounter, no matter how fleeting or how long lasting it is.
And so the one thing that when we talk about intimate relationships that I want people to understand, and you know, and I think that, you know, we kind of talked about this beforehand, so I know I'm kind of on a little bit on the same page as my co-host here, that we're not necessarily just talking about romantic relationships. You know, it's not necessarily the person that you're going to fall in love with. There are more than one type of intimate relationship. And I heard somebody years and years ago say, intimacy means into me see. It's not really about, a lot of people think it's about sex, you know, about physicality, about a lot of different things. But intimacy is about opening yourself up to people and, you know, being open and letting them see who you are, and hopefully that they're doing the same thing at their part of the relationship. Why don't you go ahead and jump in here and put your two cents in here.
I agree with everything you're saying, Sam. I think that a lot of times, you know, we think of intimacy as just being sexual, or just being with a particular, you know, with a life partner, with a spouse, for however long that relationship is life-giving. But I really think intimacy is more about how willing you are to be vulnerable with another person. I can have an intimate conversation with someone who's not my spouse and still have a great deal of depth that comes as a result of that. And so I think anytime we start talking about intimacy and we start talking about relationships, it's not just relegated to the world of who is my romantic partner, who is my spouse, who is my, you know, my lifelong companion, but rather it's how do we show up in those opportunities where we can really kind of, you know, reach into a vulnerable place within ourselves to share something that's deep and personal, and allow that then to continue to grow and engage in a relationship with another.
Yeah, and I imagine that idea scares a lot of people a lot. you know, because people aren't always trustworthy. And we may not have grown up in a situation where we were in a trustworthy situation, where we could trust the people around us to be vulnerable with them and to not be either have that used against us in some sort of weapon, or to make feel bad about it. And it's very understandable to me why people are scared of the whole idea of vulnerability. I have it on my website, and I'll go ahead and post it again after the show so that if people are listening that they can go ahead and find it easily. But there's a TED Talk by Brené Brown, and that's on the subject of vulnerability, which is absolutely one of my favorite TED Talks that I've ever listened to. I would highly encourage anybody to go search it on the TED site, or again, you can go onto my website, and I will post it immediately after we're done on the show today so that you can find it. But the one thing that she talks about in this talk that she gives is that vulnerability is the key to actually having the life that you want to have. When we put walls up around ourselves, and many of us, including probably both of us, I mean, I can really only speak for myself, you know, I still have some walls built up around myself. I probably sound like a broken record when I'm on the air and I'm talking to people, but I think that one thing that I want you all to realize as listeners, that as coaches, we're still humans. We still have our issues. We still have, you know, our lives that we live, and the past that we carry with us. We're not gurus. We're coaches. And so, you know, it's very natural for people to have walls built around them to protect themselves. But the problem with that, and Brené says this, and I've lost my co-host.
No, I'm still here. I lost you.
Did you hear any of that?
No, I did not. I heard the last thought, and I apologize to our listeners for this. Sometimes, you know, technical issues impact all of us from day to day. The last thing I heard you mention, Tim, you were talking about Brené Brown and the TED Talk.
Yeah, and I was saying that that one of the things that she talked about was that when we build walls around ourselves to protect ourselves, that we not only keep out the bad things that we want to keep out, we keep the good things from getting in.
I love Brené Brown too, and I think that that's her way of articulating, you know, really kind of what the almost like what the human condition is. But I think we're all, I think at the core of us, at the root of us, we all work toward trying to be the best people we can be, and trying to be, you know, whole individuals. And I agree with you. Sometimes that's really hard to do when we've been in relationships with people, whether it's a intimate relationship or a work relationship, or even maybe it's just a friend, and we feel like we've been either unheard or hurt. And I think a lot of times hurt feelings are the can build up for individuals, and over time it holds us back from being vulnerable again. And so there's this whole process that we all have to work through all on our own, you know, because it's a very individual kind of thing. But at what point do you let your past hurts really dictate your future actions, or are you willing to move past it, forgive, and, in order to really live the life that you want, and realizing that those things can hold you back from living the life that you want, which is what you were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, let's face it, it's hard work. You know,
yeah,
but
absolutely.
Anything that's worth anything generally is hard work.
Right.
And, you know, and sometimes the things that you work hardest for are the things that you value the most, too. You're not so likely to, you know, be so free to let anybody take that away from you because you work so hard for it. So, you know, I've worked very hard, and sometimes it's been very, very painful. You know, and I was saying, one of the other things I was saying, I think, when you couldn't hear was that, you know, as coaches, we're still human beings, and we still have our issues. We're not gurus, we're coaches, and we have our issues, and we're still working through a lot of our stuff. I mean, and we're all on a different path and all in different places, and, you know, I still struggle with certain things. You know, part of the thing from my own childhood was that I never felt like anything was enough, that I was enough. And, you know, I still kind of struggle with coming out into the world, you know, thinking that everybody sees me that way, that automatically that's how that they perceive me as well, that they perceive me the way that I sort of perceive me. And, you know, where that comes into play is that when I go to get into relationships, whether it be an intimate relationship or a not-so-intimate relationship, when I present that energy out there and I come in that sort of mode that I'm thinking that you already think that I'm not worthy somehow or that, you know, I'm not going to measure up, I behave a certain way, and I shouldn't be surprised that people behave back to me in a way that sort of fulfills my prophecy.
Right. It popped into my head, you know, the whole concept of self-fulfilling prophecy. That, you know, I completely resonate with what you're saying. You know, you walk in the world with a certain level of energy, and you receive a certain response to that back from whoever it is that you interact with. I can remember, you know, being friends with somebody. This was back in high school, and I thought we were really good friends. We shared a lot of you know, conversation. We shared a lot of interest together. And then, and I used to, you know, stop by her house, pick her up. We would continue walking to school together. We did this every day. And one day I arrived at her house, and she just flat out said, I don't want to be your friend anymore. And I have no, you know, to this day, I still don't know what happened, what was, you know, what was going on for her. But, you know, in my mind, right away, I thought, oh, my God, it must have been something that I did. You know, and I tried to talk to her, and she would not talk to me. And it took a long time for me to kind of say, okay, Barb, you know, really, you just have to let this go. Whatever, if she can't articulate or she can't find it within herself to say something to you about what's going on, well, then either the relationship wasn't as significant for her as it was for you, or something really has happened for her that she can't talk to and had absolutely can't talk about it and has absolutely nothing to do with me. I just happen to be the recipient of whatever action it is that she felt she needed to take. And I think that's a really hard lesson, and that was a hard lesson for me to learn early on in my life, to say somebody is going to have a reaction to me, or something's going to happen to somebody, and I'm going to get pulled in, or I'm going to be affected by their decisions around whatever it is, but it may have absolutely nothing to do with me. Not anything that I can control, not anything that I can, you know, in quotes, make right or fix. And to be able to recognize that and to step away without any judgment, to say, okay, this is out of my control, and I can either, you know, continue this relationship in a different way, or I need to move on from this relationship. And I think that that's another piece of kind of what we're talking about in terms of how people's reactions to us impact the way that we react to a situation, or how we feel about ourselves or think about ourselves impacts how people perceive us.
Yeah, and I want to tie this back into, you know, we're talking about forming healthy relationships. And I'm sure to some of the people listening, you're thinking, wow, you guys have really veered off some sort of strange track here. What we're talking about is the foundations of building a relationship. Because you can't build a healthy relationship unless you come into it as a healthy person yourself. You know, you've got to sort of like come into it as a whole person, or at least know that you are whole and working towards believing that you're whole, because I actually believe we are all whole, that it's just our belief system that tells us we're not. You know, and so I think a lot of us come into relationships where we say we're looking for love, and what we're really looking for is trade. I will trade you. I will trade you this for this. If you do this, then I will do that. And if I do that, then you should do this. And we sort of want everybody to be mind readers along the way, too. And then we kind of wonder why, ooh, this doesn't work so well. You know, and I really resonate with the idea of having to learn, you know, that sometimes people do things, and I'll let everybody in a little secret here. I think it's most of the time that they do things. They're not doing it to you. They're just doing it. You know, you said it yourself, Barb. You just happen to be in the line of fire, you know,
right.
And really, It's most of the time what people do is really not about us. Even if we're in a relationship, and they, even if they tell us it's all about us, we all have choices along the way. And there's times we make choices, and it's easier to blame the other person than to actually take responsibility for the choices we make. I also wanted to jump into the idea of, you know, sort of the things that, or move on a little more with the idea of the things that we carry around with us. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I already said was that I sort of came to the world with the idea that I was flawed and that people ultimately didn't like me. And I can remember one time I was in college and I was a summer break and I had gotten a job at this plastic factory. And it was, you know, the middle of summer in the Midwest, which is generally hotter than you know what. And, you know, I'm standing under by these machines that are pressing out, you know, plastic things. And it was not the greatest job to begin with. And I was working with all these other kids, you know, who were sort of my age, who were also on college break. And some of them I knew, and some of them I didn't, because it was they had hired enough people that they drew from towns around. And I can remember this guy that they had this sort of break room, and he was just really friendly, and he tried to be really friendly to me, and my own sort of walls and my own sort of you know, defenses were up, that I thought, why are you being friendly to me? What do you want from me? You know, what is it? You can't possibly, you don't know me. How could you just want to be my friend? And, you know, I gave off such a vibe of stay away from me. Don't talk to me. Don't come near me. I don't trust you. And it took him probably all of half an hour to figure out, ooh, stay away from that one. You know, and the reality was that he probably just was a nice guy and really wanted to be a nice guy and see who I was and figure out whether he wanted to be my friend or not. And I walked into the situation already with the idea that it wasn't happening, because nobody could possibly want to be my friend if they don't know who I was and they don't know what's real about me and they don't know, you know. What we bring into a relationship from the beginning is, you know, part of what makes the relationship turn out to be what it ultimately is going to turn out to be. We play part of it, and it gets very easy for us to blame the people around us for when things go wrong, and not recognize our own part in it. And I will say, it's taken me years and years and years to realize that, you know, people don't necessarily have a preconceived notion of me. They don't know who I am. How could they judge me just by walking into the room and say and know who I am? But it took me a long time to figure that out. And one of the things that I heard along the way that was one of the most profound things I ever heard somebody say to me was, other people's opinions of me are none of my business. Really? I mean, I didn't even have a concept that I could walk through life and think to myself, maybe what you think about me is not really all that important, and maybe I shouldn't be trying to mold myself and twist myself into pretzels to be somebody else to try and fit into what somebody else wants me to be. So, folks, if you want to get in on this conversation, you can call us at 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. And I think we probably should transition just for the listening audience, because that's probably what they came to listen to more than us opine about how you need to fix yourself before you get into a relationship, about what happens when you're in a relationship. You know, what mistakes did you make? How's it work? What do you do that's well? What have you learned through your relationships? And even the romantic ones. I mean, I'm in a relationship of 13 and a half years. I know, Barb, you've been with your partner for almost 15 years. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
So what would you, how did you meet your partner?
Oh, I met her at a common friend's Christmas party.
Oh, cool. And
yeah.
Did you hit it right off, or was it kind of a slow thing?
Well, I think we hit it off very well, but we didn't connect with each other until the following year, and we both showed up at the same Christmas party again. and that's kind of where it started to take off a little bit. So that was, it was kind of interesting that, you know, a whole year went by. We met each other, and then a whole year went by, and then we met each other again at the same friend's Christmas party. So
So what was it initially about her that drew her to you?
Well, I think that, you know, there's a lot of things about her that are attractive to me. You know, I think that she was she's a kind person, and that she's thoughtful. She really bothers to really listen to you when you're talking, and she's not trying to. At least at the time, she didn't give the impression like she's sitting there trying to think about, okay, what am I going to say next? You know, but she was very, you know, very focused and very interested in what I had to say. And I think that when you're meeting somebody for the first time, and I think everybody kind of does this little dance, you know, that is kind of like, okay, now who am I and how am I? And I want to make a good impression, but I don't want to give the wrong impression, and, you know, trying to stay, you know, true to yourself and being, you know, really being ready and open to seeing where something is going to go. I think that, you know, having somebody who is going to pay attention to you and feel like you've been heard, you know, no matter what the conversation is about, because I think in those early stages, you know, it's about a lot of different things, you know, because you're trying to get to know the person. And I think any amount of time that is spent, you know, really kind of trying to understand and listen and hear what the other person is really about and what their likes and dislikes are is invaluable time spent, trying to be new in a relationship, because I think every time you're in a new relationship, you're a new person. Yeah, we bring all our stuff with us, no doubt about that. If we have baggage, we bring it, and we all have baggage. But every new relationship gives us the opportunity to either jettison some of that baggage and start fresh. And I think that's one of the fun parts about being in a new relationship or meeting somebody for the first time.
How long do you think that it was before you both of you actually started to really let your guard down?
That's a great question. I think pretty early on, we did that. I think part of it too is, you know, you get to be a certain age, and you can, you know, you've had several relationships, at least for me, you know, I had several relationships prior to that, and you learn something from each one, saying, you know, in hindsight, saying, oh, I would have done that differently, or, you know, now I know that wasn't the right person for me for whatever reason, or I wasn't the right person for them. And so I think as you get older, you know, I'm in my mid-50s, I think that, you know, you start to kind of, you know, you fine-tune your life and you fine-tune yourself so that when I found myself in that new relationship, it was, you know, I knew a lot more about myself, you know, at 40 than I did at, you know, 20.
Right.
You know, and so I think that that helps. And so that time it takes to kind of really, you know, get into those, you know, deeper conversations and, like you say, you know, let your guard down, it doesn't take as long. It doesn't take a year and a half. You know, it takes 3 months because, you know, you know so much more about yourself and you've reflected on who you are and how you want to, and how you are in relationship, how you want to be in relationship. And, it doesn't take as long. That's my experience.
And how different are you in this relationship from previous ones?
Oh my God, I'm totally different. I'm much more willing to say I'm wrong, which is always hard, I think. And I'm much more willing to say I'm sorry and to ask for forgiveness. I'm much more willing to forgive when I feel like I've been hurt. In this relationship that I'm in now, which I envision being in for the rest of my life, is that I know that I can be vulnerable in it and still feel loved. And I think that's the piece that some people don't experience. You know, there's a fear that if I'm vulnerable, I'm going to get hurt. And I don't feel that in my relationship. I feel that if I'm going to be vulnerable, I'm going to still feel and be loved.
Right. You know, and the reality is sometimes when we make ourselves vulnerable, we do get hurt. I mean,
yeah.
But there's different kinds of pain, and mm-hmm. I always like to compare it to sort of like working out pain. You know, the hurt that I experienced by becoming vulnerable, and one of the things I will say to our listeners is, becoming vulnerable is a process. You don't it's like you don't rip a Band-Aid off something right away, because sometimes things take time to heal, including us. And you know, vulnerability is something that you practice on, and you take little steps, and you take little steps, and you take little steps until you feel strong enough that what somebody's going to do or say isn't going to destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
And those steps are painful, but it's like the pain of working out. It's pain that's building something instead of destroying something. And, you know, what I heard you just say was that, you know, and I'm doing a little assumption here, but over time, over probably relationships that you had before, you had to practice little by little by little until you've gotten to this point where now you're able to be far more vulnerable than you ever were before.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true.
You know, I will just tell everybody a little bit about, you know, my experience with my partner. And, you know, and I make this joke all the time, but, you know, 13 and a half years in the gay world is a long time. You know, there's a joke in the gay community, in the gay male community at least, that, you know, gay male relationships are measured in dog years, because people just don't, a lot of times, find themselves able to stay in a relationship. And, you know, I've been in this one for 13 and a half years, and we met actually online 13 and a half years ago on AOL before. I mean, it was the stone age of online, when you actually had to plug into your phone and listen to that kind of weird sound as you were trying to connect. We went out on a date, and we went out on a lunch date. And, you know, I've been living in New York now for 23 years. And so 13 and a half years ago, I'd been living in New York about 10 years at that time. He hadn't been living in New York probably 2 years at that point in time. We have a little bit of age difference. And I grew up in a small town in Illinois, and come to find out, he grew up in a small town in Iowa, probably smaller than the one I grew up in. And we were sitting and talking at our, you know, having lunch and talking about things that I couldn't believe I was sitting and talking to somebody about. Things about farming back in the Midwest and, you know, types of foods and all sorts of things that I thought that I'd moved to New York to get away from in a certain sense. And, you know, and but there was this comfort. And, you know, we actually started dating pretty quickly. And, you know, we actually didn't move in together till about 8 months, which is broke the rule that I had. I always told people along the lines that do not move in with somebody until you've had 12 or a full year with them, all four seasons. And I only made it 8 months. I guess I only made it three seasons. But, you know, I think that I was attracted because I'm going to answer the kind of the same questions that I ask you, so that just out of fairness. what attracted me to him was he was very funny. He's still very funny. He's very generous and kind. He's very, very witty. He's very, very smart. You know, he makes me laugh. That's a big deal to be able to make me laugh. He's a pain in the ass, too. Which, you know, if he was sitting down here listening to me, he probably would not even blink an eye on the fact that I'm saying he's a pain in the ass. And I'm sure that if, you know, if somebody described him, he would say I was a pain in the ass as well. But there's just something there. There's this connection that, you know, that has never gone away. That, you know, and I also envision spending the rest of my life with this man. We've integrated into each other's families now. We, you know, his nieces and nephews I've now known, they were 6, 8, and 10 when I met them. You know, the oldest one is now 20, going on 20 years old in college. And, you know, they're my nieces and nephews too, whether they call me uncle or they don't. It doesn't make me any difference. They're my nieces and nephews. You know, his mother and his father are, they're my in-laws. You know, for lack of a better term, you know, New Jersey, I'm in New Jersey. We're not part of the marriage state yet, so it'll happen, and we will take that route, I believe. But, you know, we built a life together. We've intertwined a life. My parents for 11 years didn't speak to me because lots of different reasons. A portion of it was my sexuality, but, you know, they couldn't deal. My mother couldn't deal with these things. And I'm sorry, Mom, I know you're not listening, but if somebody else is, it is what it is. And, you know, even when we came back together, the idea of her meeting my partner at that time just was like, that wasn't going to happen. She sends him the gushiest emails now. It's just crazy. You know? And there are problems along the way. Every relationship has problems. Mine has problems. I'm sure yours has problems. And they're not insurmountable problems, but they're problems. They're things that pop up. And I don't want anybody out there to think that, you know, that I and my partner are in some sort of joyous, blissful state that nobody else is in. You know, we have the same problems as everybody else. But you have to learn to communicate. And you have to learn when to stand your ground. And you have to learn when not to stand your ground. And you have to learn that you can have a fight and it'll still be okay. And some of the fights are going to be huge. And there may be some days that you don't speak to each other for a couple of days. I mean, I'm speaking for myself here. But all in all, you know, it's just work. You keep working on it, and you keep deciding for yourself that, am I better off in this relationship than I would be out of this relationship? And, you know, I ask myself that question every so often, and the truth for me is, yes, I am. And I think that, you know, speaking for him as much as I can, I think that he says the same thing. And I think that's ultimately what it comes down to for us, is it works because we make it work. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of people get into situations, especially new situations, and they've convinced themselves, and I think pop culture plays a role in this, is that they convince themselves that you're going to get into a relationship and you're going to be on one great big long date. And you said it yourself. We come into the beginnings of relationships putting our best foot forward all the time. All the time. Because we want that person to like us. You can't keep that up forever, folks. It's impossible. It's just impossible to keep that facade going and not have it crack at some point in time and see what's really going on underneath. And if you come into a relationship thinking that it's just going to be, we're in love and that's just going to take care of everything, I think you're in for a rude awakening. You know, I've said to people before, if there's a point in time in your relationship, if you've been with somebody for a while, that you can't imagine your hands around their throat squeezing, even if it's just for a few minutes, somebody's lying. Either you're lying to them or you're lying to yourself. You know, there's just times when it's hard. It's hard, hard, hard work. I'm sure you have those times. Or are you one of the lucky people?
I think anytime you love somebody and somebody loves you, there's an intensity around that love, and because the intensity is there, the intensity can create expectations. And it's the expectations that are not, and you talked about it too, Tim, about, communication is so key. That if you have expectations for your spouse or your partner or your significant other, and you don't tell them what they are, you're going to reach those days where you want to put your hands around their neck, because they don't know it, And sometimes they're oblivious and they're just not thinking in that direction, in relationship to you, Or it's a point where you're giving off a different vibe, and you're saying no. I'm really what you're meaning is yes, and you're expecting the other person to be the mind reader, and it's just it doesn't work. There has to be some level of I want to say confrontation, because that sounds a little bit too harsh, but there has to be some level of honest communication that says, wait, this, you're not hearing what I'm saying. I either I'm not saying it, in a way that you can hear it, or, you're not in the place to focus on what the message is that I'm trying to create. And that's just, really that's communication 101. And that's whether you're in a intimate relationship, or that could be the same thing with a coworker or your boss. To say I need to be able to communicate better what it is I'm thinking or what it is I'm feeling, and if you're not hearing what I'm saying, I need to say it differently. It's not always about the receiver not getting it. So there's something wrong with the receiver. Sometimes there's something wrong with the deliverer. The person is delivering the message. And I think in intimate relationships, healthy relationships, if you're working to make your relationship healthy, then you have to work at your communication and how you say things and when you say things and what you want to communicate and how well you're able to do that. And I think that's going to make all the difference. We have in our house, we have a couple of, we have very few non-negotiables, but we have them and we've agreed to them. And one of our non-negotiables is that we don't go to bed mad. If we have a disagreement, if we're arguing about something, which happens very rarely for us, but if we're really at a point, one of the things that we do is we take a step back and we say, what's this really about? Is this really about the relationship, or am I going through my own stuff, or is she going through her own stuff? And it's infusing itself into the relationship. And if you can become clear about that, most of the disagreements can kind of, can dissipate pretty quickly. And so one of our non-negotiables is not to go to bed mad.
And you're able to keep that that promise to yourselves, I'm assuming.
Yes, yes. We've always been able to do it. Like, we can have disagreements and we can have arguments about something, and they can, and you know, each person can be feel really, really strongly about their position and their point of view. But we're also so committed to our relationship and so committed to each other that our point of view or our argument, you know, where we're intense about something, doesn't take precedence over, you know, who we are when we're together. And so we kind of say, okay, we can agree to disagree because can't resolve it tonight, you know, and it may not be something that really kind of gets resolved in that sense, you know, but it's also, you know, we take a look at things and we say, really, you know, my reaction was too intense there. It's, you know, really what I'm upset about is this, not about what I'm talking about. And so that takes a lot of self-reflection, and you talked about it before, Tim, you know, saying, you know, good relationships and healthy relationships, they take a lot of work. You know, you have to work at them. You know, and to use your gym analogy again, your workout analogy, you know, yeah, if you don't go to the gym for, you know, 6 or 8 months, you know, it's going to be harder when you go back to get those muscles back into a place where they're working at their best for you. And it's the same thing. You can't neglect a relationship, no matter how long standing it is. It's always work. It's always something that you want to pay attention to, because it's, you know, you want to keep it healthy.
So you mentioned something that I think is really important, and that's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a saying in the 12-step world that says an expectation is a premeditated resentment.
Ooh, wow, I like that.
I'll repeat that for people out there. An expectation is a premeditated resentment. So many times we have these expectations, and I'm guilty of this, of having these expectations that somebody's going to think the way we think, feel the way we feel, do what we expect them to do without us telling them. You know, you talked about the whole mind reader thing, that they should just know. They should just know, and they should just that they're going to meet all of our desires and all of our needs, which is kind of unfair to place on one person, quite frankly. And you know, and we don't realize that they're not doing what we don't want them to do. Or they're not showing up the way that we want them to show up. If they don't do that, that's not really their fault. I mean, mm-hmm. the reaction that we have about it is not because they didn't do what we want them to do, or because they didn't know what we wanted them to know, or because they thought something different than that we thought. Our reaction is generally because we had the expectation that they were going to be what we wanted them to be. One way or another, you know, the resentment that we usually follows has very little to do with our actions and everything to do with our expectations. You also talked about, and I was actually taking a couple notes here that on things that you were talking about, admitting that you're wrong. Oh, I struggled for years with the idea of admitting that I was wrong. I don't know where I learned somewhere along the way where I thought that admitting you were wrong was a sign of weakness. And I could sort of, like, no matter what it was, I could just continue to argue and continue to argue and continue to argue. And even when I realized I was losing the argument, I would change the argument in the middle because I wasn't going to be wrong. You know, and, you know, I heard someone years ago say, would you rather be right or happy?
Mm.
You know, there's just times when people disagree. They see the world from different perspectives. There's two people that can stand side by side and see the exact same thing, and because of their own story, their own baggage, their own perspective, their own way that they see the world, you could ask them later to explain exactly what they saw, and they'd give you two different events. People don't see things the same way. You know, would I rather be right, or would I rather be happy? You know, and I have found that if I admit, especially when I know that I'm wrong, and I found this in my relationship, and I found it also everywhere that I am, you know, that if I admit that I'm wrong And I actually, it doesn't even have to, I don't even have to have a great big mea culpa about it. Just that admit that I'm wrong and I'm really sorry and, you know, I will work on it. I get a far better reception from people, anybody, than if I sort of dig my heels in and stand my ground and make excuses and twist the argument. And, I mean, those people are really unpleasant to be around. And I knew that they were unpleasant to be around, and I didn't even see it in myself. You know, I just really didn't. And I think what happens in relationships, and it sounds like you guys don't have a whole lot of this, and I think that we have it a little bit in ours, but and it's not because anybody is even conscious about it, but I think power plays come into relationships. And, you know, there's just times when, and especially when you're feeling vulnerable and you're feeling like you're not being heard and you're feeling like that you're hurt, that there's something in us that wants to kind of exert our power and come up. And, you know, and then that's where the conflict gets, you know, hairy. You know, because people don't want to back down. Well, you got to back down. Somebody's got to. I mean, you can agree. Like you said the words, you can agree just to disagree. I don't have to have you wrong for me to be right. I used to have to, but I don't anymore. You know, and we are in different sort of states in that in my relationship. But yeah, we're learning. We're learning along the way. It's 13 and a half years. I mean, there's a lot of lessons we've learned along the way, and some of them we still struggle with here and there, but we're learning. And, you know, my mother reminds me of this time, because my mother and my father are going on 50 years. They'll be 50 years in March, this coming March.
Wow.
And
wow.
I can remember the times when they talked about, ugh, we're just going to get a divorce. We're going to, you know. And my mother says to me so often, you just realize along the way that some of this stuff is really not important. You're fighting over things that are just really not important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you've got to make that decision for yourself. How important is this? How important is it? You can make that decision at any point in time in your life. Ask yourself at any point in time when you find yourself, you know, crazed or mad or whatever, how important is this? Is this really how I want to spend my time? Is this really what I want to deal with? To, you know, before you feel that you can just let things go and let things be. I can't believe we're almost just 5 minutes left in the show.
Oh, wow.
I'm sitting here watching the time, just click away and thinking, wow, there's only two of us and we talked a lot.
Well, I think, you know, I think, but, you know, Tim, it is such an interesting topic because everybody's in relationship. Well, if they're not in relationship, they want to be in relationship. And you know, it's just, you know, it's, you know, being connected to another human being or to other human beings, it with different levels of engagement or different levels of intensity is, you know, that's what it means to be human, you know, and trying to navigate all of that. You know, on any given day, along with all everything else that, you know, impacts us and influences us and runs into us, or, you know, has we trip over things, you know, to be able to kind of keep steady and keep some sense of balance about it all is, you know, really kind of, you know, I think part of why we're all here. You know, to be really philosophical about it. You know, we're here to be connected to each other in whatever way that happens with ever people that, you know, cross our paths. And how we choose to engage in that is going to make all the difference. You know, you're saying, I love the saying you said, and I've heard it before too, you know, do I want to be right? Do I want to be happy? If we really want to be happy, we're going to engage with other people in relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that's our purpose here is to be in relationships and all kinds of relationships. That connection, we want that connection. We desire that connection. I mean, it's one of our innate needs to have that connection. I've said before, I think people want four things. They want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to feel valued. And oh, I forgot my fourth one. Seen, heard, valued, and accepted. I want to be accepted.
Mm.
You know, do you see me? Do you? Can you see me? Do you really see who's standing here in front of you? Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you value what you see and you hear? And can you accept me for who I am? And, you know, and we are all playing this little, in this little sort of play where we're each playing a part in doing that for each other. And some of us do it way better than others. And, you know, and some of us can take it in way better than others. But that's what we're all kind of doing here. We're all just really growing.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have our own path, but we can't do it alone. That's kind of the irony of life, is that
right.
we're all walking our own single path, but we can't do this alone. And, you know, just to sort of wrap up about relationships in general and creating healthy relationships, I would say that for me, the top things would be work on yourself first. You know, RuPaul says, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love anybody else?
Yeah.
You know, work on yourself first. Realize that, you know, you're whole. You may have things that you want to work on. You may have things that you want to change, you know, about behaviors and things like that. But you're not inherently flawed, no matter what anybody says. And, you know, start digging into those things and working on those things to really find the wholeness within yourself and bring that to your relationship. Be willing to communicate. Be willing to compromise. Be willing to admit you're wrong. You know, be willing to work. And, you know, and be willing to know that if something ends, whether it be a relationship that's a romantic relationship or whatever, that it's not the end of the world and that, you know, there's a gazillion other people out there to relate to. Anything you'd like to add for a wrap-up?
The only thing I want to add to that is something that you mentioned, Tim, about your relationship is, you know, have a sense of humor. You know, be able to laugh at some of the foibles and the you know, the idiosyncrasies that you have and that your partner has or your spouse has, and not, you know, not take everything so seriously. You know, because really a lot of because a lot of stuff we do, it's really pretty laughable. You know, if you could take a step away from it and kind of say, oh, geez, you know, really, how ridiculous is this? You know, and have a good laugh about it.
Yeah, and be able to laugh at yourself about it too.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, we've done some stupid things, and we're running out of time, and I'm not going to tell you what some of those stupid things are. But I mean, there are times now that when I look back on them, and I'm just like, I can't believe how stupid this was, and I can't believe we were talking about that, and I can't believe we were fighting about this. And some of them are just, we have stories that we now tell our friends that are just, everybody knows them to be the funny stories. You know?
Yeah, we have those stories too.
You know, relax a little bit, everybody. Relax and let life be what it's going to be, and know, you know, as I sort of said when I was talking about my own business, you have more than you know that you have. You are not alone. You're not disconnected. And, you know, you possess way more power than you ever, ever knew that you had. And, you know, have fun with your relationships. That's what they're here to do, is have fun with them. They're not meant to be drudgery. Work,
mm-hmm.
yes, but drudgery, no. So let me give you the chance to give your contact information one more time.
Sure. Once again, this is Barbara Hetzel. I'm the owner and founder of Ridge Top Coaching. That's RIDGETOP coaching.com. And you can reach me through my website, through my email, which is info@ridgetopcoaching. You can reach me on my Facebook page, Ridge Top Coaching. And also, I want to invite everybody to go to my website to download my free special report on thriving in the midst of change. And to keep on the lookout, if you want to follow on Facebook, keep on the lookout for my my book chapter that's coming out later on this summer. And once again, it's been great to be with you, Tim.
Oh, it's been great to be with you as well, Barbara. So real quickly, folks, best ways to reach me is through my website, which is DIYForYourSoul.com, DIYForYourSoul.com. I do have an email address, which is info@DIYForYourSoul.com. Again, that's info@DIYForYourSoul.com. I would absolutely love for you to follow me on Twitter. That's @TimBilliter, just my name, @TimBilliter. You can also find me on Facebook @TimBilliterLifeCoach. It might be TimBillerCPC, Certified Professional Coach, Life Coach. But I have loved this conversation. I think it is a great topic for everybody. I've really enjoyed having this conversation with you, Barb. Thanks for taking the time to spend this hour and fill it up with me. And then the last thing I want to say is just a reminder. I will do one reminder for tomorrow on the Life Coach Radio Network. It's the Happy Healthy Hour with Health Coach Jen Duffy. Again, that's at 5 p.m. where she shares 101 ways to maximize summer healthfully. Everything from lightening up your favorite summer barbecue foods, outdoor fitness ideas, and rediscovering the joy of summer and play. That's it for us, folks. Enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy this beautiful summer. And we will both see you soon.
Bye-bye.